And once again, good morning to you, and so thankful for the opportunity to be back at Waverly. I hold this church in high esteem and have for many years, and I'm very grateful for the opportunity to stand before you in this hour and the other sessions that have been scheduled for this series of gospel meetings. And I personally want to encourage and invite those who are listening by radio to join us for the service this evening at 6:30 and then at 7 o'clock Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. You may not be a member of the Church of Christ, but we would be honored to have you in our presence, and we assure you that as we follow God's Word and study His Bible together, that we will not intentionally say or do anything that would embarrass you or make you uncomfortable in our presence, and we would be delighted to have you join us for any or all of those sessions. In this Bible study hour that preceded this one, this worship hour, I mentioned to you that we have a theme for this series of meetings called Living by Faith. In a world of uncertainty, in a world of many challenges, in a world that presents a lot of trials, it is important for us to have a sense of security about tomorrow and to know that we're doing the right thing today so that things will be well with us tomorrow. And so we're going to study about living by faith. In the previous hour, we studied about living by faith means doing what is right. In this hour, we are going to study living by faith means worshiping with reverence. I have some questions for you. I want you to just sit and think about each of these questions as I present them to you one by one. The first question: does God need us to worship Him? Now, as you contemplate the answer to that, think of it in this way. Does God need our worship in order for Him to be who He is? And the answer to that is no. The Bible presents God as the all-knowing, all-wise, all-powerful God. That He is the sovereign Lord and ruler and creator and judge of us all. And that He is the King of kings, the Lord of lords. He's the ruler of rulers. He is God. And being sovereign, He has the power to choose to do whatever He wills to do. And it may be that we do not understand why He does what He does, but that does not matter. We might not agree with what He chooses to do, but that does not matter. Because you see, God, being sovereign, does not answer to you or me. It is as King Nebuchadnezzar learned as he spoke, as recorded in the book of Daniel in chapter 4, He's the Lord over the heaven, He's the Lord over the earth, and no one can stay His hand or say, why are you doing what you're doing? God is sovereign. Now, there is something to attach to that thought that is very assuring to us. And that is that God is also declared to us emphatically and in unmistakable terms in the Scriptures as being righteous. So God, being sovereign, has the power to choose to do whatever He wills to do, but we can be sure that what He wills to do will always be right. Now, I submit to you that that God, listen carefully to how I word this, that that God who is the one true living God about whom we just sang, is the same if you worship Him or do not worship Him. He is God regardless. So the answer to the first question, does God need us to worship Him, in that context is to be answered negatively. He does not need us to worship Him. But then that leads to the second question. Does God want us to worship Him? And the answer to that is in the affirmative. Indeed, He does. You see, the Bible tells us over and over that God has regulated worship. He wants us to be His people and understand that we are His people and to come before Him with bowed knee and with humility and reverence and praise Him. Remember, all of those psalms that David and other writers of the books of, or rather the Psalms, wrote about worshiping God, to come before Him with and make a joyful noise unto the Lord, come before Him with reverence, and to sing unto Him, because He's great, He's almighty, He is the Lord of us all, and by Him we are all created. And God, in instructing the Israelites, after bringing them out of Egyptian bondage, spoke to Moses on Mount Sinai, as recorded in the 20th chapter of Exodus, and said, I, the Lord God, am a jealous God, and thou shalt have no other gods before me. And thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. God wants us to come before Him with reverence and to worship Him. So, the answer to the first question, does God need us to worship Him, is no. But the answer to the question of does God want us to worship Him is yes. And then that leads to a third question. Do you and I need to worship God? And the answer is a loud, emphatic yes. Because we need to experience worship because of what it does for us. First of all, it is when we worship God that we find ourselves focusing upon Him. You see, in the scripture that Brother Spears read for us a while ago, Jesus told that Samaritan woman there by Jacob's well that God is spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. And that scripture, in the way Jesus worded it, tells us that in our worship, we are to be focused upon God. God is the object of our worship. Are you listening carefully? Do not miss this next statement. Worship, correct worship, biblical worship, is not about you or me. It's about God. And if I worship as God has instructed me, it focuses my mind upon Almighty God, Holy God. And it tells me, it reminds me that I am in the presence of deity. I even think that when I do that as I ought, I begin to sense things as Isaiah saw them. I'm an unclean man. Woe is me. Who am I to be in the presence of God? Who like me thy praise should sing? And yet, that God Almighty wants you and me to come into His presence and to bow before Him and do those acts of worship that please Him. Can you imagine if God were to appear in the flesh again? Remember, Christ was God in the flesh. If God were to come up here to this platform and sit in that chair and were then to look out at you and say, "Sing to me." Can you imagine how differently that might cause us to sing? We were not singing to Brother Hayes. We were to be singing to God. And then when we sing and we finish that, if God then looks at us and says, "I'm your Father, talk to me. Tell me what's on your heart." Oh, He's almighty. He already knows. But He wants you to speak to Him. He wants you to talk to Him. And how differently we might approach prayer if we would approach it with that consciousness, with that awareness that we're in the presence of deity. And then when we observe the Lord's Supper, when we partake of the bread and the fruit of the vine and engage in what we call the communion, and we commune with the Lord, and it is as if God at that moment is saying, "I want you now, as you do this, to remember what I did for you on the cross. It was a long time ago, and I don't want you to forget it." And how differently then that causes us to partake of that bread. And as we sip that fruit of the vine, that we recall it's symbolic of the blood of God, the Son of God, who did that to make it possible for me to have forgiveness. Brethren, I need that. I need that reminder of what happened on the cross. I need that reminder that as we sing, that our singing is unto God. I need that reminder that our prayer is not just some ritualistic thing that we do habitually. But I need that reminder that in worship, though He is not in a material form or in a physical form, He is here. And it is before Him that we gather. And it is unto Him that we worship. He is the object of our worship. So, do I need worship? Do I need to worship God? Yes. And I'll tell you another reason that I need to worship God. I need to worship God because in all of that thought process, I need to be reminded of who I am and what my purpose in life is. I want to show something to you. Open your Bibles to the book of Isaiah, to chapter 43. Isaiah 43. And in this that we're about to read, we have the words of God written through Isaiah. And God, through Isaiah, is reminding His people who were now in bondage because they had departed from God. And there in their bondage, God gave them a message of hope. Look at verse 3. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I gave Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia and Seba for thee. Since thou wast precious in my sight, thou hast been honorable, and I have loved thee. Therefore will I give men for thee, and people for thy life. Fear not, for I am with thee. I will bring thy seed from the east, and gather thee from the west. I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from far and my daughters from the ends of the earth, even everyone that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory. I have formed him, yea, I have made him. That didn't just happen. I'm not the result of an evolutionary process. I am the result of God's creation. And this informs me that the purpose of my creation was for the glory of God. My purpose in life is not to do a job and make a living, although that's essential to normal life, but that's not the priority of life. And taking a vacation or engaging in some form of pleasure is not what life is about. And as important as something like education is, it is not the purpose of life. To know God is the purpose of life. And to know that I am created by God is the purpose of life. And to understand that His purpose in creating me was to bring glory to Him, that's the purpose of life. That's why Jesus said it in this way. If a man gain the whole world and lose his own soul, what has he profited? I need to worship, because in worshiping I come to understand that I was made for the glory of God. And let's look at a second one regarding that. Turn over to the book of Revelation at chapter 4. Revelation chapter 4, where John the Revelator tells us what he saw as God gave him a glimpse of heaven. Revelation chapter 4, look at verse 11. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. The creation of God is for God's pleasure, including the creation of you and me. And it is when I worship and my mind focuses upon God that I am reminded of that very fact. I need to worship because it helps me to focus not only upon God, but upon myself, and realize that this world is not about me. Oh, how filled with pride and how self-centered we can become. But it's not about me and it's not about you. It's about God. And it is about us learning that, and it is about us submitting to that, and it is about us then going about the process of conforming to His will to become the people that He wants us to be and to bring praise and glory and honor unto Him. When we worship, we must not do it lightly. I want to suggest something to you as a thought regarding that. It is possible for you and me to sing every song in that book and never worship. That's possible. It is possible for you and me to bow our heads and listen to every prayer that the men lead us in our assembly, and yet never worship. It is possible for you to be the most generous giver of this entire audience, and yet never worship. It is possible for you and me to eat that unleavened bread and drink that fruit of the vine and never worship. Because if we do not do it from our hearts with an awareness of who we are and an awareness of who God is, He does not accept our worship. In the scripture reading that Brother Spears read for us in John 4, Jesus said God is seeking true worshipers who worship in spirit and in truth. We must listen to how God has instructed us to worship. We must focus upon God. And then we must think and concentrate. Worship with reverence does not happen accidentally. It happens only by effort. It happens only when we intend it from our heart. We are in the presence of God Almighty. What a privilege. What an honor. Do you realize that something profound has happened this morning when we, as mere mortal beings, are able to come into the presence of God Almighty to worship Him? That's our study for this hour. Would you open your songbooks, please, to the number that has been announced? And in a moment, we're going to sing this song to invite and encourage those who were not Christians to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. If you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Bible teaches you to act upon that faith and to repent from your sins and confess your faith in Christ and be baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission of your sins. And God will not only wash away your sins, but He will add you to the church. And you go home rejoicing, knowing that you are forgiven and that you are a Christian. If you're a Christian who has not been faithful to God, God has promised that He will forgive you of that unfaithfulness if you will confess your sins to Him. And that blessing awaits you when you will make that decision to put away your sins and to do as God leads you. We'll be glad to assist you in any way that we can. Would you come while we stand and while we sing?